Where the hell have you been, soldier?
Training, sir!
Training, sir!
What kind of training, son?
Army training, sir!
Army training, sir!
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Blown up, sir!
Blown up, sir!
Yes, sir, these are Sergeant Hulka's men. He was injured during basic training.
I see. So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining me again today. Yeah, I love that music. Something about a nice bluesy guitar just gets me going during the day. Yeah, something about mornings too. I love being with you guys in the morning here. It's we had a storm last night. We had actually tornado warnings that interrupted TV. We had some friends over last night, Glenn and Wendy and their children from Arizona, old friends of ours. We sat in the backyard last night and talked, caught up on past, and then spent a lot of time talking about the evangel and the grace of God and freedom in Christ. It was a great time. And then we had to move indoors because it got really bad. I mean, the rain was coming horizontal. And we went upstairs, woke up the baby, and everyone went down to the basement. It was kind of an exciting time, but everything passed. We were fine. That's part maybe what we'll talk about here today is affliction. We all go through affliction. It was rough having 15 people in a small basement last night on a tornado warning. And, you know, we go through it sometimes. We're put in constricted spaces. And we're going to talk about this word today, affliction, which means constricted. Hold on a second. I got to get a little sip there. Throat running dry. Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, this is verse 16, pardon me, wherefore we are not despondent, not growing into despair, but even if our outward man is decaying, amen to that, yep, our outward man is decaying, nevertheless, that within us is being renewed day by day. That's why we can look at certain people who are old and decrepit or in physical ailment, and yet we see something fresh about them because they know God and they know the scriptures and they know the God and Savior of the scriptures, and there's something fresh and new about somebody even in old age who loves God and believes the evangel of grace. For the momentary, notice what Paul says here, for the momentary lightness of our affliction. Now, look at the words there. First it says, momentary lightness. Now, it doesn't feel very momentary, does it? Are you going through trial? I mean, I turned 40 this year, and life doesn't seem momentary. I guess in one sense it does. But when you go through problems, it doesn't seem like it's momentary. It says, the momentary lightness of our affliction. If I had written this, I would not have written it this way. I would have reversed it. I would have not said it's momentary. This is a long, drawn-out affliction. But it says here, the momentary lightness of our affliction. Now, the word affliction, if you have a concordant version, look in the keyword concordance, it says it means to be constricted, to be put in constricted places. The momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us a transcendently transcendent aeonian burden of glory. Now, that's interesting language, isn't it? The momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us. Affliction is a production line, friends, and it doesn't know any economic downturn. It doesn't operate by how the Congress budgets our money. It has, in other words, there's no hindrance. You can't hinder this process. It's a process that goes on all the time. And it's a production factory. Isn't that interesting? Affliction is a production factory. It produces something for us. Now, it doesn't seem good at first. I remember an illustration being given of a cocoon for a butterfly. You know, these caterpillars, they go in their cocoon, it's very constricting. I remember a story of a kid who felt bad for the caterpillar, or this little creature inside the cocoon trying to get out. And he went over and cut it open, and the caterpillar was turning into a butterfly, died. And what I was told is that the process of the struggle for the caterpillar is necessary for it to become a butterfly, to be a strong one, to get its wings going. That struggle in the cocoon is part of its process. And, you know, it's easy to have sympathy and cut it out, you know, and get it out. We don't want it to do that. And the same with us. The struggle is necessary. God has ordained it that it be necessary for us. So this momentary lightness of our affliction is producing for us a transcendently transcendent, look at the word, transcendently transcendent, aeonian burden of glory. Now, we would call our present affliction a burden, and our future glory a light thing, because we can't see it. But God does the opposite. The affliction is necessary. And if you look down in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians and verse 5, it says, "Now he who produces us for the self, for the same longing is God, who is also giving us the earnest of the Spirit." And what God does, what Paul is teaching us after 2 Corinthians 4:17 is that we are in these earthly or these terrestrial bodies, and we're burdened and we're groaning and we're longing in them. That's the cocoon process. And we can't be cut out of it too early, because it's necessary for us to become celestial beings. And God produces us for this same longing. You know, it's interesting, in the Hebrew scriptures, there's a man named Joseph, and he went through suffering. God told Joseph that one day he was going to sit upon the throne, and his brethren were going to bow before him. But what God didn't tell him right away is that before he got there, he had to go through slavery and prison time before he got there. And I'm sure at times the time he spent in prison didn't seem like it was momentary, that it was a burden beyond what he can bear. But it's interesting, when Joseph became king, when he was taken out of the prison and put on the throne, one of the first things he says is that God had caused him to forget all that toil. God had caused him to forget. In other words, the glory he had was transcendently transcendent. And when he looked back on the suffering, he said, "God has caused me to forget it." You know, one day when we get there, when Christ snatches us away, we'll look back at our sufferings and we'll say, "You know what? It was worth it. It has made this time, this glory of seeing our Savior, so much more wonderful." So here in verse 5 of 2 Corinthians says, "Now he who produces us for this same longing is God." Not only is affliction a product line, we are a product. God produces us for this same longing. God put us in this position of longing. So, suffering molds us. You know, it's interesting here. It says that we long. And I don't know about you, but I long to see the Savior. I long to see Him. And in the book of Job, I want to read you a passage in the book of Job. Job chapter 14, we read this. In Job 14, verse 13, "Oh, that you would seclude me in the unseen." Sometimes you feel that way. "That you would conceal me until your anger turns back, and that you would set a statutory time for me, and then remember me." Job was going through suffering. He says, "Oh God, get me out of this." Verse 14, "If a master dies, shall he live again? All the days of my enlistment I shall wait until my relief come." Job says, "I'm like a soldier who's going through a time of enlistment, and I want relief. I want somebody to take my place. I want somebody to come in and replace me here on the battle lines of life." And then he says this, verse 15, "You shall call, and I shall answer you. You shall long for the work of your hands." Even Job recognized the fact that if Job were to die, if after his life is over, that God himself longed for the day when he would be raised from the dead. And you know, not only does God long for that day, it says that the Lord Jesus Christ longs for that day. In John chapter 11, at the grave of Lazarus, the Lord Jesus wept. In 1 Thessalonians 4, if we've read this before and it's worth reading again, it says this, that the Lord himself will be descending from heaven with a shout of command, with the voice of the chief messenger, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be rising first. Thereupon we, the living, who are surviving, shall at the same time be snatched away together with them in clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall we always be together with the Lord. That word snatched away together is used for a wolf snatching a sheep out of the flock. The Lord Jesus longs to snatch us away. He can't wait to see us. So not only does God himself long for the day when we are out of this affliction. Christ himself longs for it. But just like the caterpillar in the cocoon, they're not going to cut us out early because God has ordained it that we go through this struggle and process before we get to glory. Another passage in the life of Joseph. If you read it, read it on your own. Read Joseph, the story of Joseph. Read Genesis 37 to 45. And you're going to see, after Joseph became king and his brothers came down to see him, Joseph had to let them go through some very rough time before he helped them. And it even says that Joseph wept over them. Joseph longed for reunion with his brethren. And by the way, Joseph is a type, a picture of Christ and Israel in the Old Testament. Joseph longed for the event when his brethren would be rescued, but they had to go through a process first before that day, and Joseph wept. And our Lord Jesus longs for that day to snatch us away out of here to be with him. Don't you think that the one who died for us is longing for us now, and he can't wait to see us? God longs for us. Christ longs for us. And in 2 Thessalonians 5, we are produced for this same longing. We long for that day. We'll put on our celestial tabernacle, our heavenly body, and see our Savior and no longer have to go through the afflicted life or the constrictions that we go through now. But when we get there, when we see our Savior, we will, with Joseph, say, God has caused me to forget. All the suffering was worth it. It has only added to the glory that we now enjoy. God has designed it that we go through the experience of evil first, before we are with him in a perfected state, and God hasten that day. I hope this has been a help to you. I got to run now. We will talk to you tomorrow.